Hi, this is Chris Pels. In this video, we're going to learn how to do validation in ASP.NET. So let's get started by building a new website. We'll just call this website VB. Now I've created a sample page layout for us to do validation on ahead of time. So let me get that and copy and paste that into our page. And as you will see, this is just the layout of the page. It's nothing to do with the validation. So what we have on the page are some typical user input controls, and we'll see how to add validation to them. So to get started, let's look at the validation controls that are available in ASP.NET. And there's several standard controls. We have a required field validator, a range, regular expression, compare, custom, and a validation summary. And we'll go into each of those in more detail as we put them on the page and implement them. So let's get started doing some validation. The first validation control that we're going to add to the page is called the validation summary. And we'll put that down here below the login button. And this control doesn't actually do any validation, but what it does provide is a common place where you can display error messages from the other validation controls that are located on your page. Let me open up the properties window on the right side because we'll be setting a number of properties on these controls. What we're going to do with our validation summary is we're going to use this as a place where we can provide a list to the user of all the fields on the page that have some sort of error that they need to go back and correct. We'll type in a standard header here that'll be displayed with the summary control. And we'll say you must enter a valid value in the following fields. And we're going to give this a CSS class. I made up a small style sheet inside of the page just to give you an example of how you might use a style to make your messages stand out a little bit. And that's called validation message. One of the properties of the validation summary control that we're going to leave in its default setting, which is bulleted list, is called the display mode. And what the display mode does is allows you to format the multiple messages in your summary in different formats. Now let's add our first validation control to the page. And the first one we'll add is called the required field validator, and this does as the name implies. It requires that the user enter a value in the field. So we'll take this and let's require that the user enter a last name. So now we have to set several properties in order to have this validate the last name text box on our page. First, what I would like to do is just put in the CSS class, again, validation message. And then a very important property is which control is the required field validator associated with. And in this case, we're going to select the last name. Next, what we need to do is determine what we want for an error message. And there's an important distinction here between error message and the text property. The error message property is the text that's displayed down here in the validation summary control, whereas the text is displayed immediately where the validator is located on the page if the validation fails. So what we're going to do in the error message is put last name, because remember in our summary control we have a bulleted list of all the fields that have something invalid. So when last name is not entered, what we're going to get down here in the list is last name. So the user has an indication they have to go up here to last name and in this case enter some information. And then down there for text, what we're going to use is just a capital R, so there's a visual indicator to the right of the last name text box to the user if validation fails that they need to do something. on last name. So that's all we have to do to get a required field validator to work on the page with last name. Let me just start up the page and we'll take a quick look at this in action so you get a perspective on how it works before we do the rest of the validators. So here we have our page. I will leave last name blank. I'll click login and you see we get both the last name listed with our validation summary at the bottom as well as the text value, in this case a capital R, indicating to the user that they need to do something with last name. So let me just put Smith in here and we'll click login again, and this time you see validation passes, so we get neither the validation summary display nor the text for the validator to the right of last name. So now let's go on and add some additional validation controls to the page. Let's say the next thing we want to validate on our input page is postal code. And what we want to do is to make sure that the user has entered 5 characters that are all digits. In order to do this, we're going to use the regular expression validator. And this is a very flexible and powerful validator that I found useful in quite a number of places. So we'll take regular expression control and we'll put it out to the right of postal code. Like our required validator, the first thing we need to do is indicate what control we want to validate with the regular expression validator. And we want to do postal code. Let's put our validation message class here so we get the look that we want. Next, we want to go down to the error message. And remember, this displays down the validation summary, so we'll put postal code. Then our text to display to the right of the postal code text box is postal code must be 5 numeric digits. Next we enter our validation expression, and this is the regular expression which you want evaluated to validate the contents of the control. And you have two approaches. One is there's several predefined regular expressions that you can use, or you can type in a custom regular expression. And we happen to have one for the US zip code, so we'll use that. So now we're ready to test the postal code validation. So we'll start up the page and we'll click login. And we get our required for last name, but the regular expression is not a required validator. It's just checking the contents of what we type. So we don't get any errors because we haven't typed anything in postal code. So we'll just type Smith in our last name. And let's put ABC. And this should break the validation or make it invalid. Try that. And indeed it does. We get the message that the postal code must be 5 numeric digits. We also see that the postal code is listed in the validation summary as one of the fields that needs to be corrected. So now I'll just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, log in again, it passes validation, so we don't get either of our messages. Now let's do some validation on the phone number field. And what we want to do for phone number is actually perform 2 validations. One, we want it to be required, and then second, we want the phone number to be in the correct format. So we're going to use our required field validator, and we're going to use a regular expression validator. So this shows you that you can actually perform multiple validations on a single control on the page. So we'll go to our required field validator. Control to validate, phone number, class, validation message. Our message is phone is the invalid field. The text we want to use, again, we use capital R. Then for our regular expression, control to validate is also the phone. Set up our formatting. The error message we want displayed in the summary is the phone field. The text we want to display out to the right is phone must be in the format area code space prefix suffix. Now for the validation expression, we'll see there is a US phone number, but what we're going to do is actually I'm going to paste in a custom validation that I made up ahead of time for our phone number. Just a little bit different than the standard US phone number that we have here in the selection, and also shows you how you can put in your own custom regular expression. So that looks good. Now one of the things we also have to do here is account for spacing between the R and this message, phone must be in the format, because we could have text in here and then the R would not be displayed, but it could be invalid, so we'd still get the second message. And we don't want things jumping around on the page, and we don't want the phone message to be way out to the right. So what you can do on the required is there's a display property, and it has two values, which are static, dynamic, and none. We have it currently static, which means that the R, or the text of our required field validator, always takes up space on the page, even when it's not visible. What we're going to do is change that to dynamic, and now what will happen is that the text of our required validator will only take up space on the page when it's displayed, so that will cause the second message from our regular expression off to the right of it to be moved or shifted to the left when the R is not displayed. So now let's test out the validation on the phone field. We'll just click login, and you'll see we do get the required indicator for the phone as well as the last name. So let's fill in last name, Smith. And now let's only put 3 digits for the phone, which should cause the regular expression validator to fail, which it does. You see the phone still listed at the bottom as having an invalid entry. We get our message here on what the proper format is, so let's put that in. And now we'll say login or submit, and both messages are gone because we fully passed validation for both the required and regular expression aspects of the phone number field. Alright, let's move on to date of birth. Date of birth, we want to do 3 different validations. So first we'll put a required field validator, and after that we're going to put a regular expression, and the third one is going to be the range validator. The required field will be the same as we've done before, so let me just set that up. Date of birth. The font and the name is date of birth for our validation message in the box at the bottom, and the text will be the R. And we will make this dynamic so it smooshes to the left if it is valid. Next is our regular expression validator. We'll set up some of the things that we're familiar with, which is date of birth, validation message, class. The error message will again be date of birth if something's wrong. Show that down the summary box. And the text will be date must be in the format month, month, day, day, four digit year. And then for our validation regular expression, again we're going to do a custom one. I'm just going to paste in a date validation regular expression that I have on hand. So we're all set with the regular expression, and then the third one is the range validator, which we haven't looked at yet. And the first two properties are common to the other ones, which control we want to validate, and the class. The error message, I'll put the field name, which is date of birth. And then the text we're going to display, what we're going to say is the date must be between, we're going to start with 1850, hopefully no one older than that, and today. And we'll show you how we get today momentarily. The next thing we want to set are these minimum and maximum values for the range validation. And the first one we're going to set is the minimum, and it goes in the format year, month, day. So we'll do 1850/1/1. And then the maximum value, which we want to be today, the way we're going to set that is we're going to go into the code behind. We're going to override the onload event for the page. And we're going to go to the range validator 1. Then we're going to go to the maximum value. And we're going to set this equal to the static date time object dot today dot to string. And we're going to specify that it be year, month, day. So this will set the maximum value every time the form is loaded to the current date. And we have one more property that we need to set, and this is the type of range that we're evaluating. It's string by default, and we want to set it to date to do the date validation. And before we run the page and take a look, remember there's one more property we need to set on the regular expression. We need to make that a dynamic. Since we have three in a row here, we want that to collapse to the left as well. So now let's take a look. So we have our page. We'll enter last name. We know we want that and the phone number. Now date of birth, we'll just leave that blank. We get our required validator. And let's put in invalid date format, so we'll just go 33. And we get two messages, one that it's in the wrong format, and also that it's out of range. So let's do a valid format, but one that's beyond today. We still get the message, has to be beyond today. Let's go back and put it at 1849, and we still get the message. Let's change that to 1949, which would be a valid date, and indeed it passes validation. So that's an example of using multiple validation operators, in fact three in a row, each of a different type, to get the end result that we wanted. Next, let's do email. We'll do two validations on email. And the first one that we'll do will be a required. So we'll put that down, and we'll also do a regular expression. Required, we'll set the normal properties that you're familiar with now. Get that class. And the field, or the message, name of the field is email. And the text that we want is our capital R. And I see we just set the regular expression, so let me make that correction. And we'll just do email, validation message. We'll put email, and we will put the capital R. So that looks good. Now we'll go back to the regular expression, and all is not lost here, because we do want these two properties to be what we've entered, and the error message is correct. But the text, we want to do put not a valid email format, must be email at host.domain. And I see we spelled validation wrong. I noticed that the red was not bold. That is good. Let's make sure we need to set the dynamic for the display type. Now we need a regular expression, and there is one for internet email address. So we'll take that. Okay, let's test out email. Just click login. We see we do get that it needs to be required. Let's put in invalid email. Now we get the message, not a valid email. It's also listed in our validation summary. Let's enter a valid email, and we'll put jim@temp.org. And now the email passes the validation. The last two we're going to do are the password and re-enter your password. Both of these will have a required. So let me put the required validator on both and just set those properties. Control to validate for the first one is the password. Get our formatting. Our message is that the password is the wrong field. And here we are again, we're down on this one. That's okay, and we'll just change this to be the re-enter password, and the text is the capital R. We'll go up to the password, and we'll take control to validate is password class. The message is password, and the text is the capital R. Let me just go back and check. That's what I thought. We want this to be password re-enter. And let's just set both these to be dynamic. So the second validation we want to do on the password will be a regular expression. So we'll take the regular expression, put that on our password. Let's set those properties. Password, the class. The look, the message for the validation summary listing the fields is password. And then the text is the password must include at least one of the following. We want exclamation, at, pound, dollar, percent, caret, star, plus, and last but not least, semicolon and colon. Validation expression. And we're going to use the custom, and we'll paste that in. There we go, and that will check for that sequence of characters within our password. And then when we re-enter the password, we want to use what's called a compare validator, because we want the two passwords to be the same. So here we'll set two different properties, one the control to compare, and one the control to validate. And the control to compare is the password. Control to validate is the password re-enter. Validation message. Then our error message is re-enter password is the field that has a validation error. And the text we want to display is passwords do not match. Please re-enter. Now let's test out our password validation. Start up, we'll just click login. We see we get the two requireds for password and re-enter the password. Let's put in a regular character password without one of those special characters that are required. We'll just put ABC. Try to log in, and it says it must include one of these characters. So now let's put a valid password. We'll just type password, and we'll put a pound sign at the end of password, and then we'll go down and we'll just type password without the pound sign, click login, and we see we're getting that the validation error that the passwords do not match. Let's go put the pound sign on the end of the re-enter, click login, and now the password validation is complete. And the last validation control that we're going to look at is the custom validator, and as the name implies, this is a freeform validation control where you have to supply all the validation necessary. So let's put this down on password, and let me just change this display to dynamic, because what we've decided to do on password is we want to make sure that the user enters a password that's at least 8 characters long. And the control to validate is the password. Validation message. The error message is password that is listed in the summary box at the bottom. And the text displayed to the right of the password is password must be 8 characters or greater. Now we need to write our validation logic, and the first thing we're going to do is write some server-side validation logic. So I'm going to double-click on the validation control, and it adds an event handler to our code. And you can see inbound there are 2 arguments. One, the source is the control that's causing the validation on the page, or the validation control. And the second is the arguments, which are the value that have been entered in that control. So what we want to do is use the args, and there's an isValid property, and if you set isValid to true, then your validation passes. We want to say the password is valid if the value in the arguments is greater than or equal to 8. And actually we want the length. I'll go back to the page. And the other thing we're going to do is some client-side validation, and you can see here there's a property for the client validation function. So we need to add that to our page, and we will put that right up here in the header. So we'll add a script tag and the language equal to JavaScript. And we want to write a function called isLengthValid. And we want to have 2 inbound arguments, the source and the args. And then we'll say args isValid is equal to whether or not the args value dot length is greater than equal to 8. Then we'll take that method name and we will go back into the validation, go over to the client function, paste in the name of the method that's called in our JavaScript. And notice we did the validation both on the client and in the server, and the reason for that is because if for some reason the client altered the client-side JavaScript so that they didn't have to enter an 8-character password, it's still going to go back to the server if that fails and do our standard server-side validation. Okay, and let's test that out. Start up our page, login, passwords required. Let's type PASS and the pound sign, so we have our special character, but the total length of the password is less than 8. Click login. We now get the client-side validation. Let's get rid of the pound sign. Try login again. This time it posted back, and we got both the password needs to have the special character and the length greater than or equal to 8. So now let's enter the rest of the valid password. And you can see our password now has passed all 3 of its validations. The last thing I want to point out is that in any validation control, you have a property called enable client script. It's set to true by default. And what this does is that if the browser supports JavaScript, then the validation that's been specified is done on the client by default. So in summary, we looked at the different validation controls that come with ASP.NET, and then we looked at how to use them in different combinations. Some of them were used alone, such as with last name, we just had a required field validator, whereas with date of birth, we had three different validation controls: required field, regular expression, and the range validator. We also looked at how to do custom validation, as we saw down here with the password length validation. That also had in it client-side validation. So I encourage you to download the sample source code that comes with this video. Take a look at it in more detail. This is Chris Pels. Thanks for watching this video on validation in ASP.NET.